The future is now. Explorers from deep space crash land on its planet destined for annihilation.
Abandoned ship! Get out now!
They discover a world so unpredictable, so shocking, it will shatter your very concept of reality and reveal the dark destiny of man.
What alternate universe is this? What planet did I wake up in?
They own the banks, fund the wars, manage the politicians, control the media, and command the apes to enforce their tyranny.
You want to fight? You better believe you've got one!
They try to silence the one man who saw it coming. And the world he reveals will challenge every idea.
Way out west, southwest, down in Texas, there's this fella I want to tell you about, fella by the name of Alex Jones. At least that was the handle his freedom-loving parents gave him, and he made pretty good use of it himself. This Alex Jones, well, he's a straight shooter. He calls himself an info warrior, a globalist killer, even a goblin slayer. He's a truth bomber, dropping nukes of knowledge across radio waves, television sets, and all over the World Wide Web. Many have tried to stop him, shut him up, or silence him, but it never quite worked out. Not for a man like him.
1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms.
He's a real Paul Revere of the 21st century. A truth teller. Hell, even more honest than old honest Abe Lincoln.
Sworn on the altar of God, eternal resistance over every form of tyranny of the mind of man. But remember, we can't do this alone. In fact, we don't do any of this. We are just the willing vessels with our free will to ask God to lead, guide, and direct us to be instruments of His will. Ministers of truth, ministers of justice, ministers of the will of God on this planet today. And we are imperfect. We see through a rose color darkly, and that's why we got to constantly be praying to God, constantly asking God to direct us. And when we get the voice of God, the still voice of God, when we're told to do something by God, we have to do it even though we don't want to. And there's been plenty, you know, that I didn't want to do. I'm all about factoids, info. I want to just tell you about things. I respect you. I want to show you how I see things working so you can research it. You give me info. We augment the information. We move forward. I love pure stuff like Nick Sherlock. Pure stuff like Nick Sordor. Pure stuff where you go out and you show what's going on. That's what I'm all about. That's what we do. The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game. I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue.
I know. I love it.
This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I mean, this is just bonker town. I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I just can't shut up about it. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Watching The War Room with your host, Rob Dude. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the third and final hour of The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dude, and joining me via Skype is newly 100% free man. Before he was sort of like kind of free, but now he's 100% free. Joe Biggs, proud boy, former InfoWars reporter. How are you doing today, sir?
And future millionaire.
Aren't we all?
Eat that, Joe Biden.
It won't be worth as much, though.
It's pretty sweet after 4 years of or 5 years of hell. I'll be glad to get whatever I can.
How did you get the news of this? Like, how did it come to you?
So yesterday I'm riding my motorcycle. I'm actually driving up to the motorcycle shop to check on my other bike that was in there getting work done. And I'm riding home and my phone starts blowing up. My friend Amy calls me, then Enrique calls me, then Ethan Nordine and Zach Rill. And I finally get to the house and I call Enrique back first. And I go, all right, this many people don't call me ever. I'm not someone that likes to be on the phone. And, Enrique goes, well, I've got good news and I've got bad news. He goes, the bad news is I can promise you, you're not going to get a pardon. And I go, well, that's kind of an asshole thing to say, buddy. He goes, well, you're not going to need one because they're dropping all the charges tonight. And I go, what? And he sent me a screenshot from the DOJ and it says, we are dropping your charges and making it like it never happened.
It was dismissed without prejudice.
Yes, without prejudice.
I'm sorry, dismissed with prejudice is what.
Yeah, so they can never bring this up again. I can never be charged again.
Yeah.
That means it's like, you know, it's just been a 5-year nightmare that I've got to wake up from, you know. But at the end of the day, guess what? It's made me a better person. I've learned a lot from it, you know, and I've gotten to see the inside. So most people don't have to go through that. I now have an inside knowledge of what the prison system's like, what it's like to go through a federal trial when it says United States versus your name. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more frightening than seeing the world's most powerful government, take you to court and strip everything from you. And, you know, I had lost hope for a while. I didn't think that I was going to get vindicated at all. And I just started accepting the fact that, you know what, I'm not going to get a pardon. And I just need to learn to live life as a multi-felon domestic terrorist. So I'm working on starting a new business. All this stuff's going. And then this happens and drops on me. And it's just, it's surreal. I don't even believe it's actually happening. So I keep pinching myself and I'm still waiting on it to like fully hit me. You know, my girlfriend, she's breaking down crying throughout the day. My mom, I haven't heard her crying forever. And she's, you know, I spoke to her on the phone yesterday and to hear her cry like that, it just, it feels good, but it eats away at you. You know, we needed a win.
Exactly.
We've been without a win for a while. And it's surprising, you know, what people aren't going to are not going to believe is, you know, Harmeet Dhillon, she reached out to Enrique, said something's coming down the pipe tomorrow. You guys are going to be very happy. Then we get that news. And she said the person to thank for this all was Todd Blanche, that he actually is the one that pushed it through.
Wow. Yeah, and that actually is very surprising because he seemed like, you know, anybody who spoke out against anything, he didn't, you know, he's already publicly spoken out against Alex Jones. But it, I guess Pam Bondi was holding this up at the end of the day. She was the one in the way saying, no, we're just going to leave these little tentacles stuck to these guys so they have to go with this for the rest of their life, because all they did was do what the president asked, to go peacefully and patriotically, go to the Capitol and let your voices be heard. And, you know, for doing that, you got fired upon, you know, rubber bullets. There was tear gas. It just turned into mayhem. And not to mention, we had a black DoorDash driver place two bombs, right? Isn't that what the government also said? So, I mean, all this craziness that has been going on. And finally, you do get some real, you're not necessarily getting restitution, but you're getting to start it at zero instead of being, you know, 6 miles back at the starting line.
Well, so you know, I'm pretty sure I told you this a while back, but I guess maybe 6 months ago, 7 months ago, the VA office in DC called me, and it was the secretary of the VA, Doug Collins. And she goes, he'd like to talk to you. We saw you had some complaints online about, you know, your benefits and things like that. So she patches me through, and he tells me, he goes, look, without a pardon, there's nothing I can do. You can't go to the VA. I'm sorry. You're not going to get paid. He goes, you know, if by miracle you know, everything gets vacated like it happened yesterday, then you will get back paid. So
wow,
this is what I have coming to me now. I have 4 years at 100% disability back pay coming to me. The full restoration of my rights as a military veteran with honors, you know, Purple Heart.
You're going to get your medals back as well, right?
Yep. Everything. Wow.
Congratulations.
Access to the VA for the first time. I can go see a dentist in 5 years.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be that person. But, you know, I'm getting that money guaranteed. Then now that it's been vacated and they've dismissed it based on the fact that they said that there was so much negligence and so much corruption in the prosecution of us. It's $10,000 a day for a legal detainment. So $10,000 a day times 4 years. You get that as well. Then you get other stuff, a few other things I've got to look into. But then also we are suing the DOJ for $200 million. And it's weird because the day before yesterday, before we got the good news, the new judge over our civil case says that our case has merit. And we haven't heard that before. You know, it's always been juking and jiving. So I think she knew what was about to happen. But this completely gives us the ability to win that. And things are going to look good. You know,
it sounds like they're trying to go for a settlement is what this is. It looks like it's a, hey, y'all drop the charges. And that's probably what they're going to try to do. So y'all drop the charges. We're giving you this olive branch. But, you know, I think go with what you can get and what you can prove, especially with the way this whole thing was railroaded from start to finish, the demonization afterwards, the continued demonization by the press, you know, as the Proud Boys, who were just a group who was, you know, defending people's right to have speech in this world because the cops weren't doing their job. That's why the Proud Boys actually came into being. Essentially,
I mean, we were formed in tear gas. You know, like we saw these protesters, you know, or Trump supporters or whatever, being attacked simply for wanting to hear, you know, Donald Trump go speak at an event back in 2015-16. And we saw people being sucker punched and attacked at restaurants with their children and eggs thrown at them and you know, ganged up on and beat up in parking lots. And, you know, we said, you know what, we're able-bodied men. We love this country, and we believe that everyone should have the right to go peacefully assemble and listen to a potential presidential candidate speak and see what he has to say and what he has to offer. So, you know, in their chaos, we were born. And, you know, they gave life to us, and it pisses them off because, you know, they don't want the truth out there. They don't want men who are healthy and in good shape out there standing up against these illegal aliens that are coming in here that they manufacture, open these borders, bring them in, and then have them attack American citizens. They don't like seeing, you know, men stand up and share a message of, you know, dangerous freedom, which means living your life to the fullest and being free and understanding your rights and talking to people about your rights. And, you know, it's like a muscle. If a muscle's not used, it starts to deteriorate and it shrinks. And it's the same thing with our rights. When we stop using our rights and we start letting the government have a little bit more of it and we take that muscle away from us, we deteriorate. So people need to understand that our rights are just like a muscle. We've got to continue to use them and be not afraid to use them and understand what all the rights are. So we're continuously using them and not giving that government an inch because they always try to take a mile.
Yeah, that is true. And sitting there listening, you know, I've known you for years. If you're getting all this money from the government, I know one thing, you can afford a really nice ping pong table and I can come down to Florida and we can relive some of the old days of after work going to the bar and drinking a couple brews and playing ping pong for hours.
Oh man, I miss ping pong. I've been telling Angela about that. I love playing ping pong. I mean, there were times when I was in the Army in El Paso, I was in a leg cast. After I'd had my knee surgery and I'm out there hopping on one leg, just whooping dudes in tournaments, man. I love playing ping pong.
Yeah. And you know, hey, I hope you get as much money as you can get out of these guys, because really,
are we going to get $200 million between the five of us? Hell no. These people are cheap.
Right.
But if we at least get like a million or so, hey, I'm okay with that. Look, that's a nice Harley I can get.
What? And, you know, you could buy a nice house with that. You could put a down payment on a house. You could get some land, you know, live your life, get the pursuit of happiness. That's what this, you know, country's all about. And also, you know, continue to let people know how your story and how the things you've gone through, because here's one of the big things that we haven't even talked about yet. When you were going to prison and going through all this stuff, you really did turn to Jesus and the Lord and really started praying and become more of a religious person. I know Darren McBreen was telling me all the time. He's like, man, Joe's definitely changed from all this. He's become, and you weren't a bad person before, but he's like, he's become a better person.
Yeah. You know, and I've told people this, I've always been pretty open about my faith and the ups and downs in it. You know, I was very, you know, I wouldn't say religious. I don't like that because religion's a man-made thing. But, you know, I was more spiritual in a sense. I believed in God. I prayed. And then after I saw what I saw in combat, I really struggled with it. I struggled with it for a long time. And I had friends killing themselves, suicide. And I just saw a lack of help. And I just got to a point where I was dark and I hated God, you know. But for some reason, when this happened, instead of pushing him away, I brought him closer. And I just humbled myself and I said, you know what? I'm going to be in this room for I don't know how long alone. I'd like you to be in here with me and help me out. And God really showed me that he was there, you know, small things. I know I've probably told this story before, but, you know, when I was at the Alexandria Detention Center where I spent most of my time in solitary, you know, we would get these stale old apples, worms in them and things like that. And they opened up the bean chutes, what they call them, the metal flap where they could put the food tray into your cell. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want some freaking peaches. And the CO laughs and all the inmates that have been there for years laugh. They're like, we ain't never seen no peaches in here. Ain't nobody going to get no peaches. Like, watch this. I was like, you know, and I got my food. And that night I laid down flat on the ground. I said, God, show me a sign. Let me know that you're here with me. And if I know you're here with me, I'm going to get through this no matter what. However long it takes, I know I'm going to be good. And the next day, the CO opens the flap and he's literally shaken by this. And he goes, there's peaches on here. And everybody was just in shock. And after that, I started a Bible study. Yeah. You know, it got everyone's attention because they didn't think it was possible. And God heard me and he showed me. And from that day forward, I was like, you know what? I'm good. And I found joy in there. And I was able to be happy in that solitude. And I thought something like that was going to drive me crazy, but God got me through it. And, you know, it does. Sometimes we have to be pulled away from all the distractions of society, the social media, the gossip, the news, the gloom and doom. And sometimes God needs to pull us aside and, you know, to remind us, you know, that we still need him and that he's going to be there for us. And that, you know, I needed that, you know, and it sucks to say that because I had to spend time away from my family, but I needed that. And God pulled me aside and said, calm down, dude, pull yourself off, chill out. And well, let's work on you. And you're going to be a force to be reckoned with. Yeah.
Eat a peach.
And, you know, after that, things got easier. And it became an easy thing for me. It didn't get hard again until I had to go to Talladega, where I was actually put with, you know, actual murders and criminals and stuff like that. And then here I am now, I've spent 2 years by myself, and now I'm getting thrust into this world with gangbangers and stuff like that, and learning a whole new dialogue and a whole new way to move and things like that, and watching your back and being careful what you say, because certain words you say can get you jumped or killed. Mm-hmm. You know, learning the space that you're supposed to keep around you. And that was a whole other chapter in my life, a new, you know, bump I had to get over, a new hill to conquer.
A gross experience, and God got me through it. You know?
Yeah, it was brutal, man. You know, I had a cellmate try to eat me. He took a chunk out of my neck and bit into me, and I was bleeding down my back. And attacked me, and the guy was all messed up on drugs, and I had another guy trying to poison me with fentanyl all the time, and I had COs trying to get me in trouble. They would say, if you're going to leave your cell, we're going to put hard drives of child porn in there so you never get to go home. You know, and I had people actively just, they believed what they saw on the news. There were, sure, these black COs,
yeah,
and they in their mind, they,
these guys are racist,
the worst, yeah, racist, yeah,
yeah. No, it's ridiculous. I'm amazed at still how many people still fall for the media's message and what the mainstream media does and how it puts its message out towards people. And then people still buy it to this day, and on all kind of levels. And I'm actually coming up after the break. You could stay if you want to. Yeah. Propaganda right there. That's how they manipulate the masses. And it's done with big brains that just sit around and figure out ways to control people and manipulate them. And one of which is fluoride in the water supply.
Yeah, people don't understand. As soon as you walk outside or as soon as you wake up, you are in an active psyop. Every day you are actively being psyoped. And if you don't understand what that is and how to counteract it, and if you don't have the intelligence to see through it and put on the glasses, like Rowdy Roddy Piper says, you know, oh, we got one that can see. You're going to be victim to that. And it's, they are calculated. They are cold. The Democrats, the left, the right, all these people are experts. They would make Edward Bernays blush. They would make Goebbels blush. I mean, we have mastered the art of deception now in this country with our government and the media. So people really need to educate themselves and read more. Stay off their cell phones, stay off the TV, and read your history and read about your rights and understand what it is you have and the power that you do have as a citizen. Most people don't even understand the power that they have, and that's why they fall victim to a lot of the things that happen to them. So people need to educate themselves and take it seriously.
So you've talked with some of the other Proud Boys. Is everybody getting this same deal, or is it just to a certain number of people? I mean,
well, it was all of us that didn't get it was all of us that got charged with seditious conspiracy. So okay. We were the ones that got screwed over the most. We're the ones that had the least amount of evidence on. They had to use people to falsify testimony. They, you know, conspired to commit perjury. You know, with Jeremy Bertino, when they were doing the FBI raids after January 6th, they found in the home he was at weapons, and he was a prior felon. So they used those weapons to choke him into a position that he would fold and flop. And they kept going like, hey, man, we can give you 20 years for these weapons, or
you
could be my friend. And
you can say they put you up to it. You can say Trump told you to do it.
So they lied, too. They lied to this guy, to Bertino. They told him that we were flipping on him.
Right, of course.
And he goes, no, I don't believe that. But then the CIA document 1776 returns introduced, and it's dropped into Enrique Tarrio's email somehow. And we were able to prove that through. And yes, this was a document created by our Central Intelligence Agency for this. I mean, January 6th was the magic trick. You know, over here, you have a stolen election. But then over here, January 6th was like, don't look at this. Hey, and look over here. And that's what it was. Is I call January 6th the abracadabra day. You know, they didn't know that was going to happen. And they went with the flow after they saw the crowds moving. But the initial abracadabra and the bait and switch was the pipe bombs.
Yeah.
And once they saw Trump tell everybody to go to the Capitol, and they saw the amount of people that were going, they already knew. They already had a team on us, a team that was following us nonstop. So they had Proud Boys there. Great. There's one recipe for disaster in their mind. And then you've got, you know, 100,000 people moving towards the Capitol. And I think in real time at that moment, they started formulating a plan. you know, they're the government. They have mass communications. They have mass spying equipment, you know, and they already had all of our phones tapped, all of our information. They had drones overhead. I believe that there were different elements of special operations on the ground that day with earpieces, you know, getting the crowd riled up, people like Ray Epps, things like that. And they were using these individuals to foment anger. It was like the movie 1984, where it's like they're screaming at whatever, hate, 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 and they're angry and they don't know why. And that's what they were doing. These guys were in the crowd, these agent provocateurs, amping people up and showing them how to break down barriers and where to go and what the weak spots were. So
it was, and then on top of that, you have police shooting tear gas in, firing rubber bullets at people who hadn't done anything yet, who were just standing around. They're like, we're going to be here, we're going to stand here. And then, oh, you start getting hit. I even saw where I was, which was, they just showed some of the video of Alex on the chairs telling people not to go in, because we saw a group trying to go up the stairs and we're like, don't try to go in. They're going to use that against you. And they all left. And I stood, because I'm like, well, I'm going to get this. If this happens, I'm going to get this breach. Well, a group of about 13 cops in full riot gear, like they had the shoulder pads on, they had the tactical helmets, and they all had long sticks. They weren't carrying guns. They had really long sticks that were about this long. And they all walk into the crowd where they were, and they're just standing around. And all of a sudden, boom, boom. They start swinging the pole, and one of the guys grabs the pole from him and says, hey, man, stop hitting me. But, you know, oh, you grab the pole, suddenly now you're an aggressor. And so but I think they realized, oh, we're not going to get these people to attack us. They're just defending themselves. So it's literally as quickly as they walked in, they just turn around and walk out. And you could just see that that's what they're trying to do. They were trying to get the crowd into a frenzy, and they got what they wanted. That's exactly what happened. At one point, you know, the people, there's that scrum in the doorway, and then people went into the Capitol, and most of which were peaceful. I would say 99% were peaceful.
Well, I mean, the government refuted, you know, so many of their claims in the middle of the trial, you know, so they had the architect of the Capitol come in. It's this guy who is in charge of like all the restoration, anything if it breaks. And he's the one that, you know, says how much it is and finds the contractors to come in to fix it. He says that once something is initially broke, it is broken. That's it. So they blame Dominic Pozzola, my co-defendant, the guy you see right there with the gray beard and black glasses. He hits the window with a shill. What they don't show you is the Indian guy in the red MAGA hat that happened to be at all these pivotal points throughout the day, never got arrested. This guy is the first person to break the window with a 2x4. So by their own definition from the Capitol itself, the architect, once that window was broken by that gentleman, he is the person who broke it and therefore should be charged with. But instead, they go and pick Dominic Pozzola out.
Then because
they
find out he's a
Proud Boy.
Yeah.
They find out he's a Proud Boy, a new one. So they used him to get seditious conspiracy on me, Enrique, Zach, and Ethan. But then they don't even charge him with that, you know. So they used him to get in. And then they go, well, because he's not a leader, we can't charge him with seditious conspiracy. But then why'd you put him in the leader group for the trial? Because you needed that, you know. Yeah, when you see a stacking right there and holding, that was us leaving. The first time when all that stuff kicked off, I told the guys, get behind me so we don't lose each other. Let's get out of here. We get out there in the field, and then I start hearing flashbangs going off and people screaming. And I go, man, I feel bad. I you know, because I have medical training from the military. I was like, I want to go see if anybody's hurt, if I can help. And I start helping people, and I'm moving parts of the fence. And the government says that I was breaking the fence down to throw at cops to hurt them. You know, they lied about everything. It was just people need to hear about this and a longer setting where I can actually talk about it, you know?
Well, I have a feeling you're going to make a documentary or something about this and really get the truth out, because that's what needs to happen. We're about to go to break. We'll be right back. You stay with me for the rest of the show. I'm really proud of you, dude. You really maintained yourself, and now you're getting what's coming to you. You're getting what you deserve.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it, and you like it, and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors because they really work. I'm going to tell you what they are. Well, Bigley, our sponsor, has a really high-quality, private-label, top-selling brand that we were able to private-label we're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research. and then go to theoliveshowstore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding, eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Inner Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bovine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite Detox Formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners in the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber. Lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time. So all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs. Cancel any time. $30 a month. Get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Segment of the War Room. I'm joined with a war hero, friend of Michael Hastings, and political prisoner Joe Biggs, who's finally getting Josephus Bigglesworth is his ex. I hadn't seen that. I saw actually yesterday, it was late last night, I saw that you had posted the U.S. government has vacated my charges and dropped it all. Now I'm a free man. I can have my guns back. We didn't even talk about that. You get your guns back. Travel the world and get your military benefits. And on top of that, they're going to pay you, I guess, wrongful imprisonment, some back pay there, plus your back pay that you weren't getting for having disability. So the title of this document is Unopposed Motion to Vacate Convictions and Remand for Dismissal with Prejudice. That's ironclad right there. That's about as ironclad as you're going to get from the government. Let me tell
you. It's probably one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. Like, I keep reading it over and over and I just salivate.
And you've got this document in your possession, right?
Yeah.
And it's signed.
It's like, I keep like going, is this real? Like, is this like a...
What's the back like say? What does it say?
Is it? I feel like it's like a defect. Yeah, that right there really blew my mind. Like the DOJ Rapid Response posted this today. Yesterday, the Department of Justice filed
bring
a
that
motion,
back up, guys. You know, bring that back up. They're going to bring it back up. There it is. Go ahead.
Filed a motion to vacate the convictions of several Americans who had received clemency from President Trump. Since these years-long Biden-era weaponized prosecutions, President Trump demanded we stop the two-tiered injustice, and we are delivering no more rigged systems. So, you know, that shows that Trump did have some knowledge of this as well, so that's kind of cool. That actually, that meant a lot to see that today.
I bet.
Saw that. I was scrolling.
And I tell you, you know, what, the first day of his, when he got in office, the one of the first things he did was get you guys released. He pardoned, didn't pardon you, but he got you basically vacated your sentence where you could be released from jail. And then a lot of other people got pardons.
You know, early that day when the ceremony started, the warden's office, they contact me. I get brought up to the warden's office and they go, hey, if you were to go home today and get a pardon, because they're saying they're going to pardon people, if you were going to go home today, where would you go? And I give my mom's address, and I'm being told the whole day it's a pardon. That's what they're being told at the prison.
Right.
Then something changed in the middle of the night, and I'm thinking that might have been Bondi getting to Trump, because she seems to – she put on a good show acting like she's all for us, but starting to see other things.
She's a deep state.
It's hard to know who you can trust and who you can't, because, you know, like I said, that PSYOP is so strong.
Yep.
You know, here we are being told that Todd Blanche has been the one blocking it, but it's not, you know, and
he had a change of heart, or maybe somebody talked to him and said, hey, listen, we wanted Pam to do this, and she put a kink in the wheel. You better undo this right now or you're next. So it could have been something like that.
Either way, I'm just glad it happened. You know, God's good, and, you know, I'll take whatever I can get, and, you know, this is something my family's been waiting on forever.
Yeah. Well, I'm so happy it happened for you. I saw the news last night. I was like, this is great. And then I was texting you this morning. I had your old number, and McBreen calls me up and he goes, hey, you got to get Biggs on today. I said, I've been texting him. He won't text me back. He's like, oh, you don't have his new number. So I'm glad we got your new number. Got you in. I want to pivot to this. This was something I wanted to do yesterday. I want you to stay on for this, but I tweeted this on the 13th. I said, I found a positive to the Iran war. There may be more positives coming out in the future, but this one to me is a big positive, because there's a substance that they put in your water. They call it fluoride. It's not even really fluoride, but apparently in Baltimore, they're having to lower the amount of fluoride they put in the water, which is part of the PSYOP too. That's the chemical PSYOP that goes in your head and makes you eat. It messes with your third eye. It makes you more susceptible to cancers. It gives you brittle bones. It doesn't really help you with your teeth, even though that's what they say it is, because what they're putting is not even really fluoride, which is calcium fluoride is what they is actually beneficial for your teeth in very small amounts. But the city of Baltimore had to lower this out. Guys, let's play the Baltimore clip. It's clip 3. Let's go to that one real quick.
Supply chain issues are forcing the city Department of Public Works to temporarily reduce the level of fluoride it puts in drinking water. So this affects Baltimore City residents and some people in Baltimore and Howard counties who get city water. There are no regulations on the level of fluoride in water. DPW Director Matthew Garbark says the city remains committed to providing safe, high-quality drinking water to all its residents. The drinking water will remain safe, and it will meet all federal and state water quality standards.
Yeah, because they're actually putting more fluoride than what you need. Because, you know, you got to keep the people of Baltimore easily controlled so they can, you know, when you want to rile them up, you can rile them up. And get them to riot.
Well, it's the number one ingredient for Idiocracy. You know, like, you know, when you watch that movie, it's all these dumb zombies walking around laughing at fart movies or a movie that just shows a butt. And that's really, like, think about, like, where we're at in society. You have large groups of kids twerking, mm-hmm. and they're all, that's funny. This is great. Oh, man, this is great. Then they start shooting each other. It's like they're dumbing us down to such an extent that we find – like these things interesting. We won't read books, but we'll watch these 60-second or 30-second reels on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's just other people doing dumbed down stuff back to back, lighting farts on fire, you know, dropping frozen turkeys into a vat of hot oil and exploding and catching on fire. And I literally feel like that's what it is. It's like Brando's everywhere. We've been force fed Brando. It's what plants crave, you know.
And the number fluoride. One and movie was ass.
So, you know, Mike was ahead of his time.
Big time. And a fluoride has a lot to do with this. People don't realize that this is an industrial waste that they put in your water, because if they were trying to dump it somewhere, they'd have to go through a bunch of hoops. So they're like, oh, this is good for you. We're going to put it in your water because your teeth and your stomach need to be strong and fortified. So here's an article from 2 years ago. Fluoride at twice the recommended limit linked to lower IQ in kids. It's an AP, and it's from a study that they did. But now, 2 years later, we got this story that comes along and says, fluoride in your drinking water has no effect on IQ or brain function, major study shows. So 2 years later, they come out with a new study that's like, hey, fluoride isn't bad for you at all. But what they fail to look at, and they've changed the terminology. So now you have the SDS, okay, which is the safety data sheet. It used to be called the MSDS, which is the material data safety sheet. And here, and guys, get that B-roll ready of the fluoride plant that we shot hidden camera back in 2010. I shot this hidden camera footage. And so here's hydrofluorosilicic acid. And they say, oh, it's toxicity is a category 4. So it may cause burns, irritation, linings of the mouth. Swallowing in small amounts, it could be a serious health hazard. And they also say it's an acute toxicity 3. If it gets on your skin, it's bad for you. It's not good to inhale. Now, what it used to be was the MSDS. And here they tried to change it here, but they didn't change this graphic. And guys, go back to where we saw the tank where it says 4. 4 is the worst number you can have for human reactivity. They're like, this can cause death if you get it. I think it's like 125 in that clip. Yeah, there you go. There's this fluoride tank. We're actually in the room where they put the fluoride in. Boom, you can see the 4 right there. That's what they're putting in your water. And they're putting it in at 9 gallons an hour. It's totally disgusting. I'll give you the word on this before we go to an interview. This is an old interview Alex Jones did with Dr. Paul Connett. It's a 15-minute video, so we got like a minute left here.
Yeah, that's some creepy stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, my buddy, or my cousin, I should say, Chase, he works in a lot of medical stuff, and he's always sending me stuff. He's like, this is the worst stuff ever, and they're throwing it in everything, and you know, they have these little city council meetings and people are complaining about it. And they bring in these little experts and they're like, no, you guys are all wrong. You probably watch InfoWars if you think that. And it's like, you don't have to watch InfoWars. You go look at the Harvard medical reviews and stuff where they talk about how dangerous it is. I mean, InfoWars isn't the only place it's talking about.
We're just showing you the information. That's all
the only ones beating on it and trying to get it out there. But there are legit colleges and medical universities out there that have been talking about the horrors of this stuff for quite some time.
Yep.
You know, and the fact that people still think it's good. You know, I can tell a lot by a person when I go to their home. When I look at the toothpaste, and I always look to see if they've got like fluoride-free toothpaste.
There you
go. I look to see if they've got the filters on there.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff we use, we don't have any of that in there. You know,
you got to do it. Exactly. Cognizant. You got to filter your fluoride out of your water. That's the only way to go. Hey, we're going to go to this clip now. This is about a 15-minute interview. Alex Jones and Dr. Connett. This is a biochemist. Joe Biggs, I salute you, brother. I'm so glad everything's working out for you. This is great news. InfoWars lives forever. Thanks for being with me today.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Dr. Paul Connett dropped by our studios to update our viewers on the amazing success that scientists are having worldwide in their fight to educate governments and the population to the deadly toxic waste poison, fluoride, being added to our water.
This has been an 8-year effort on our part to demonstrate that they cannot introduce this sulfuryl fluoride for the treatment of food and warehouses and processing plants, because our kids are already exceeding the reference dose, the safe dose.
Dr. Paul H. Connett is our guest, and he is an environmental chemist and, of course, a toxicologist, and has been a prominent critic in the U.S. and around the world
since he first researched exactly what the so-called substance fluoride is doing, being added to our water, but also being used as a pesticide. And we had him in here just 4 or 5 months ago in studio with us. And since then, so many positive things have happened. And I wanted to get him on to discuss. The EPA has proposed a phase-out of fluoride-based pesticides. That's the New York Times. Other reports, U.S. wants to reduce fluoride in drinking water. The government's had to continue to admit that internal ingestion of fluoride does nothing for your teeth. It's only topical, and I've made the point many times, it's like drinking sunscreen instead of just putting it topically on. And so there's major cracks in the facade. He's just returned to the United States from a trip to Australia, New Zealand, and other nations. He just got back last night, and he's here in Austin, Texas, tomorrow to speak to the Austin City Council. So positive things are happening all over the world, and he's here to give us a report on that. Dr. Conant, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you, Alex. You know, water fluoridation is not the most important issue confronting our planet, but it's the easiest one to end. All you need is a strong wrist to turn off the tap. Once the tap is turned off, it's over. But you need the political will to turn the tap off. And to get that political will, we need people informed and we need people organized. Thanks to you, millions of people around the world are being informed on this issue. And thanks to fluoride-free Texas, thousands of people in the city of Austin are being informed about the issue and organized, being organized on the issue. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that Austin, Texas will be our next big victory. A few days ago, it was finalized that Calgary in Alberta, that's 1.1 million people, are now going to be fluoride free. And after 20 years. And people in Waterloo, Ontario, voted it out. So the squeeze is on Ontario. And don't forget that most of British Columbia and most of Quebec, the wings of Canada, are already fluoridation-free. And we're squeezing on Alberta with Calgary out, Edmonton maybe next, and then we're squeezing on Ontario. If Ontario was to go, if Toronto was to go, or even Ottawa was to go, I think it would be the end of fluoridation in Canada. Meanwhile, we've got a very good organizing group in New Zealand. FAN New Zealand is excellent, and FAN Australia has just been formed. So there's a fight back everywhere. And then a few days ago, I was in Dublin, which is mandatory fluoridation. Because of American pressure back in the 1960s, Ireland has mandatory fluoridation. It's the odd man out in Europe. Only three countries in Europe have any fluoridation at all. England at 10%, Spain at 3%, and Ireland at 73%. But lots of people in Ireland don't want this fluoride in their water. But many other people don't know it's there.
Now, you've been talking about some of the big cities that are going fluoride-free. I've seen reports like towns outside Austin, like Lago Vista, having it removed. Other cities not putting it in. Big fights in places like San Diego, where they've had to bring in supposed private money to do it. I briefly want to give people a recap of just some of the basics of the danger of fluoridation and how discredited it's gotten and what it signifies for you that this facade of you people are crazy is beginning to fall in, because I've seen the reports of the majority of government scientists and unions sending in their own letters, toxicologists, environmental chemists, saying this is insane, the increases in bone cancer, the fracturing of the bones, the dental fluorosis. I mean, it's such a hoax. But before we go there, you also gave me some very positive news earlier when we were talking about what's happening in the state of Georgia.
Yes, some very prominent black leaders. Andrew Young, former ambassador to the UN, former mayor of Atlanta, whose father was a dentist and for years was pro-fluoridation, came out with a public statement a few days ago calling for an end to mandatory fluoridation in Georgia. And the reason is that they're now finding that black children are much more sensitive, appear to be much more sensitive to fluoride for a number of factors. For example, the rates of dental fluorosis, which is caused by fluoride, mottling of the teeth, is greater for black children and Hispanic children than it is for white children. But the parents are not being warned. You know, in terms of the basics, probably the single most basic fact that anybody needs to know is the level of fluoride in mother's milk. You know, what was developed over millions of years by evolution, Mother Nature, however you saw the development of humankind, this is baby's first meal, which is designed to be the best delivery of all the things that the body needs, right? And it's practically none. The level of fluoride in mother's milk is 0.004 parts per million, which means a bottle-fed baby is getting, in a fluoridated town like Austin, is getting 250 times more fluoride than nature intended. And then you have these lunatics, these people that are more interested in money than protecting our babies or our health, selling for baby, water, so-called purified water, which has fluoride added to it. So they're deliberately giving babies 250 times more fluoride than nature intended.
And they push it in the public schools. They've got dozens of brands. They've got it in packages, little school buses on the side. You go to grocery stores or baby stores, there's giant end caps. They've got recordings playing. Your baby needs it. They've got to have it. But you just broke down the facts, and I've read the statistics. Go over some of them. Am I correct, doctor, that the studies show these different fluoride types have a much more adverse effect on babies and the developing?
Yes, it's the first year, which is the most sensitive year. According to government-funded researchers from Iowa, it's the first year in which the baby's at greatest risk at developing dental fluorosis. And we've got a huge problem now in the United States. 41% of children between the age of 12 and 15 now have dental fluorosis. Now, that's all American kids. That's an average of kids living in fluoridated communities and non-fluoridated.
And that's up from?
From
10%.
10% was where they began in 1945. That's what they thought. We can fluoridate the water, lower one part per million, lower tooth decay, and we'll keep the dental fluorosis at 10% in its very mild form. Now we have 41%, probably 50% in fluoridated communities, and 3.6% of those have moderate or severe dental fluorosis.
And from the studies I've read, but correct me if I'm wrong, this is the surface effect. And so this is what we're seeing, but the studies on IQs, on bones, bone cancer.
Yeah, you can't see them unless you do a study. You can't walk down a road and tell if someone's had brain damage, whether their IQ's lowered, whether they earlier onset of puberty or any of these other things. You can only find that was caused or not by fluoride if you do the studies. And we're just not doing the studies in this country. We're not doing any studies to see if there's a relationship between fluoridation and arthritis, even though we know the first symptoms of fluoride poisoning of the bone is just like arthritis. We're not looking to see if there's a relationship between fluoridation and the massive increase of underactive thyroid gland, even though doctors used to give fluoride tablets to lower thyroid function in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Very low doses, by the way. We're not looking to see if there's a relationship with fluoridation and lowered IQ, even though we have 24 studies now from China, India, Iran, and Mexico, which shows that moderate exposure to fluoride is lowering IQ in children.
Well, that was my next point. You're saying we're not studying it because this is the home of fluoride where it began. You live here in the United States as well, but all these other countries have, and we know that the teeth turning into pot-eaten, you know, yellow wrecks, that's only the surface effect.
That's right.
What about glands in the brain?
The pineal gland, this little gland between the two hemispheres of the brain, it concentrates fluoride because it's a calcifying tissue, just like the teeth and the bones. And the researcher that did this, somebody I've met several times, Dr. Jennifer Luke in England, she also showed that animals lowered melatonin production. And this pineal gland produces melatonin, which is like a biological clock. It controls the start of different things or end of different. It controls the onset of puberty, aging, jet lag, which I know something about, and sleep patterns. So it's an incredibly important gland, and yet no country, no fluoridating country, has attempted to reproduce her work, and it's not.
But strangely enough, in the studies I've seen, levels of fluoride are known to accelerate puberty and basically aging, and then we wonder why, amongst the other hormones and things that are in the meat, that our girls are going into puberty at now not just 6 or 7 or 8, but 3 years old in many cases, and it's
you see the areas of the world where fluoridation's going on. We have these hot spots of the boys being effeminate and the women going into puberty earlier.
But the point is, from a scientific perspective, if you don't look, you don't find. And the absence of study does not mean the absence of harm. And unfortunately, what is being done in the United States, particularly by the Center of Disease Control, is to essentially say, oh, we're not finding any effects at one part per million. Well, you're not looking. There's a, I know you're a fan of Monty Python, as I am, and we had Dr. Peter Cooney, who's the chief dental officer for Canada. He went into Dryden, Ontario, shortly before they voted fluoridation out. That's another victory. He says, I've walked down your high street today, and I didn't see anybody growing horns, and you've been fluoridated for 40 years. So that's the level of research in Canada. You know, come in, John Cleese. Well, John, what are we going to do to study this fluoridation thing? How can we demonstrate to the public?
He doesn't have any horns.
Yeah, just,
he's fine.
We'll have a whole department. We'll have a specialist in deer horns, moose horns, goat horns, bull horns, cow horns.
Rabbit horns.
We'll cover the country. And you...
If we see horns growing, we'll cut that fluoride.
That's it, John. Jolly good, you got it. You got it, hold on.
What about forked tails as well?
Yes, your forked tails, absolutely. And by the way, John, what do you think about getting rid of this hazardous waste from the phosphate fertilizer industry?
Well, we'll just put it in the water, and if they complain, we'll say, if Easter bunnies spontaneously appear, then we'll take it out.
So you got it. I mean, can you think of anything more bizarre? The hazardous waste of the superphosphate fertilizer industry, they can't dump it into the sea by international law. They can't dump it locally because it's too concentrated. But if someone buys it from them, it becomes a product. And once it's a product, then they can put it in the drinking water and tell us it's good for our teeth.
Well, expanding on that, I mean, you say they haven't studied it here, but they're... There have been studies all over the world, and there have been studies of what higher levels of fluoride do. And we know it's deadly poison, and it attacks the body at every level. I mean, you've spoken about how it's really an adjuvant. It also accelerates all the other toxins. And if it's something that bioaccumulates, then we do know it's bad.
It's crazy. Well, first of all, you know, going back to real basic common sense stuff, the whole notion of using the public drinking water to deliver medicine is crazy, because once you put a medicine in the water, you can't control the dose. You can control the concentration at the waterworks, but you can't control how much water people drink, and you can't control how much fluoride they're getting from other sources, so you can't control the dose. Ask any pharmacist. This is sheer lunacy.
But that's my next point. You were earlier, when we were talking on the radio, breaking down how they gas the food with fluoride, and they also have systems where they spray it on.
Yeah.
And many of the doctors I've talked to over the years said, look, water's bad, but this is where they're really putting the toxic waste. Well, now, going back to January
10th,
absolutely, of this year, 4 or 5 months ago, EPA proposes phase out of fluoride-based pesticide because we're dealing with hundreds of times what they're putting in the water. But the fact that they're now starting to back off on this, why do you think that's happening?
Well, it was an amazing victory for the Fluoride Action Network with help from the Environmental Working Group and Beyond Pesticides. This has been an 8-year effort on our part to demonstrate that they cannot introduce this sulfuryl fluoride for the treatment of food in warehouses and processing plants because our kids are already exceeding the reference dose.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. and I mix that with Ultra Methylene Blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best Methylene Blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the Methylene Blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with Methylene Blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexandershow.com. It's T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexandershow.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexandershow.com. But regardless, our Methylene Blue, our iodine is the best. And it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.